I want to start looking this morning in Luke. I'm going to read a little story here of the disciples and some of the interactions with Christ, starting in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James the son, and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Now I want us to see here, these men had been out fishing all night, had not caught anything. In Louisiana, we call that getting skunked. You go out fishing and you come back with nothing. And they were the next morning cleaning their nets, taking care of things. And Jesus came by and said, I'd like to use your boat to talk to the people. And they said, sure. They put out. He talked to the people. And then he said, well, you're fishermen. Go ahead and let's do one more dip with your nets. And, you know, you see Peter there, you know, but we fished all night. But I find it interesting that Peter said, nevertheless, we'll let down the net. Sometimes I wonder if Peter thought it was going to be a quick thing. I know what's happened all night. We're going to put it in the water. We can pull it out. It won't get too dirty, and we'll be back at shore shortly. This is going to be easy. They put the net in the water, start to pull it up, so many fish, their net broke. So then they're hollering and waving at their friends, hey, you need to come out here. There are fish here. We need to get them in the boat. They came up so full that both of their ships were about to sink. The Lord moved. Peter was like, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve this. I need you to move away before, dare I say, in our words today, lightning strikes. I'm not feeling worthy, Lord. And Jesus told him, said, look, from here on, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And it says they left everything and straightway followed him. Now, if you think about the next 2 to 3 years of their life, this was the start of Jesus's ministry. So for the next 2 to 3 years of their lives, they followed him around. They learned from him. They got to see all of his miracles, participating in some of the miracles, helping bring people to Christ. Just imagine the joy they felt going around. I don't know about you all, but I have to admit, jealousy is not a word we may use often, but when I say I'm kind of jealous of them, imagine being there and not just reading of these wonderful things, but being able to see it, being able to partake of it. And just imagine how they were feeling. This is the Messiah. And then something happened. The authorities, both religious and civil, get up in arms. And they start acting on half-truths and fears. And they go arrest Jesus in the garden, bring him into a trial that's kind of a farce. After the trial, they mock him, they crucify him, all in a day's time. So here you've been following this man, seeing all of this wonderful stuff, and then in a day's time, it looks like it's gone. He's dead. That morning, he was arrested. That evening, he's dead. Now what do we do? Imagine the loss they were feeling. I mean, if your life had been anchored that closely with Christ, physically walking with him, talking to him, getting advice from him, imagine how disconnected you would feel. Just, Lord, where do I go? What do I do? And then 3 days later, you start hearing the news. There's people that say they saw Christ. He's alive. He's risen. So let's go to Luke chapter 24. Starting in verse 45. Because Jesus started appearing to them, and here it says, then, speaking of Jesus, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power on high. So now Jesus shows up and he starts telling them, I've got something for y'all to do. I want y'all to go preach. I want y'all to go share this message to the world. But oh, by the way, I want you to also wait. I want you to wait till the power from on high comes into your life. Have you ever felt like the Lord gives you something and then tells you to wait? Okay, Lord. And they're sitting there, they're pondering, well, what do we do? The Lord's told us to go out, but then he's also told us to wait. So let's go on over to John chapter 21. Starting in verse 1. And it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples were in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Then Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh, taketh bread, and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was raised from the dead. So that when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. I'm going to stop there. So I read this. You know, they were sitting there. They were waiting. What do you do? Peter, he says, well, I'm going fishing. I was fishing when I met the Lord. He's gone. Got to wait. I'm going fishing. Not a bad idea if you're in wait mode. Might as well be productive about it. So they fished all night and got nothing. Have you ever noticed the similarities between when they were called before and this story here? Once again, they fished all night. They had fished all night before, had came back cleaning their nets, had nothing. Now they'd fished all night, once again had nothing. But this time, there was a person. Of course, we know it's Christ, but they didn't know it at the time, that calls to them from the shore, "Hey, do you have any fish? You got anything you can sell me?" Sad answer from them, no. We've been working all night. We haven't caught anything. And then Jesus, from the shore, says, "Well, you're putting your net out on the wrong side of the boat. Put it out on the other side." Sometimes I wonder if we consider that. I don't know about you all, but if I've been fishing all night and I consider myself a fisherman, and somebody's on the shore was to holler at me and tell me, "Well, you're fishing on the wrong side of your boat," there'd be a little part of me be like, "What do you know about fishing?" No, if I put the bait on this side or that side of the boat, I'd think the fish could see it on either side. But it said they went ahead and put the net down on that other side of the boat. And when they pulled that net up, apparently 153 fish in the net, sound like it's pretty big size fish, was a deal. And it said the disciples that Jesus loved told, he's like, "Psst, hey, Peter, we've seen this before, remember? That's Jesus on the shore." You know, Peter, think back, Peter, when we were called, this happened. There's only one person that could be standing on the shore right now, Peter, that's Jesus. Peter, he's like, "Well, I'm not dressed properly to meet Jesus, but I sure want to go talk to him. I'm going to get my clothes on, and y'all can come in the boat, but I'm out of this boat, and I'm going to go talk to Jesus." They get there, get to the shore, fire going, bread and fish out there for cooking. They're told, "Take some of your fish, put it on the fire." Can you imagine what kind of thoughts were going through these people's minds? What kind of unasked questions they had? We were called to follow the Lord in these same circumstances, and now here he is, once again, showing his power, his might. What has he got for us now? Jesus' message to Peter: "If you love me, feed my sheep." You know, you were called to be a fisher of men, but I'm going to add to your title shepherd. I'm going to add to your title somebody to encourage your brethren, somebody to help people walk the right way, to stay with the flock. And once again, have you noticed sometimes the Lord uses things? Peter seemed to be the lead in the first story, and the others followed him. And I have no doubt, because we see it in the history of the New Testament, Peter was kind of the lead here. When the Lord told him, "Go feed my sheep," the other's like, "All right, Peter, we're with you. We're going to go feed the sheep. We're going to go keep the people encouraged." So that's the question I have for us today. Are you going fishing? Yeah, we're waiting for the Lord to return. We have been told he's going to come someday with power from on high. And no doubt, as you live your life for the Lord, you get told sometimes to wait. Wait. What do you do with your waiting time? Do you go fishing? If you do, and you're careful, you may find that the Lord says, "Okay, I want to talk to you," because yes, you're in wait mode, but I've got things for you to do even in wait mode besides go fishing. There's nothing wrong with fishing, but he wanted them to encourage the brethren, to help make sure folks stayed connected, didn't forget his message. Think about the two on the road to Emmaus, walking along, sad, leaving Jerusalem, cast down faces. The stranger joins them. What are y'all looking so sad for? What are y'all talking about? And they're like, "Don't you know, if you've been in Jerusalem the last few days, surely you know what's going on there." And kind of bemoaning the things, and this stranger tells him, well, hold on, you know, maybe you're not looking at things right. And he starts, of course, we know he was Jesus, starts preaching to him. And it says their heart burned within them as they walked on down the road. To the point they got to Emmaus, and he was acting like he was going to go on. They're like, no, no. We're feeling a kindred spirit here. You need to come stay with us. You need to stay at our house. You may leave in the morning, but we want you in our house. We want to feed you and help take care of you. Jesus opened their eyes, and of course, all of their understanding cleared at that time. What did those two dear brethren do? Did they go in the house and say, boy, it's going to be so good when we go back to town tomorrow to let the others know what happened? Nope. They turned around and said, we're going to go tell them now. We want to encourage our brethren now. We were so sad, but we're so lifted up. It would be a shame not to go tell our brethren, to even to wait till the next morning. And in their excitement, they turned and went right back to Jerusalem. I have no doubt, knock, 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 who on earth is knocking at the door tonight? Well, I thought y'all were going to Emmaus, going home. Well, we were, but we got a story to tell you. Is there anybody else that's still up? Can you call them over? We want to share the good news. We want to help feed our brethren, keep them encouraged. Think about doubting Thomas. You know, he missed being there when Christ showed up one time. And when the others went to share the news with him, he was kind of in the doldrums, kind of, I just don't know. Y'all are telling me this, and I appreciate that, but unless I can put my finger in the marks in his hands and put my hand in his side, I'm just not sure I can believe what y'all are sharing with me. And what happened? It says Jesus showed up, said, all right, Thomas, I tried to let the others encourage you, but if you want it from me, I'll let you touch it. You know, I don't really read, and I may be wrong, but I don't read where it says he put his hand in there. He said, Lord. Do you know, we all are going to need encouragement as we walk the path, as we go along. And as we continue to wait for encouragement, it's up to us to help keep each other encouraged, to help feed each other. You know, if you noticed the fire the second time, when Jesus had food for everybody, I think, but he also said, bring of what you've caught. Bring of what you have, because we're going to put it here. I want you to help serve and feed. I want you to help take care of people. My thought this morning is, sometimes we can get caught up in just waiting, and we sometimes forget to go, look, Lord, I know I'm waiting, but is there something you would have me to do? Something that I can do that will benefit others? What would have happened if they would have just stayed in that upper room and done nothing? Just kind of hid out. You know, Jesus is dead. We're going to hide up here. And, you know, there's people that said they saw him. Well, yeah, but we're just going to hide up here in the room. He'll have to come find us. It was the people that went out to the garden that started seeing and carrying news. The first person to see Jesus was at the garden, Mary. And if they would have just hid and moped, we wouldn't have had some of the wonderful stories. I would like to challenge us all. We will all stand individually before the Lord and be judged for our own deeds. But I'm going to say we will not make it to heaven strictly on our own most times. It's going to require encouragement and help and assistance. If you look at the whole thing in the Bible, is we need Jesus. We need each other. It's a way of working together to get souls to heaven, to make sure that all of the adopted sons and daughters that are willing to go can make it into heaven. I encourage y'all to look for what the Lord will have you do as we wait. Y'all pray for me.